Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a good day to you. I'm overlooking the beautiful, Diamond Head is just gorgeous this morning on the south shore of Oahu. We're playing games with airplanes today. We had one guest stuck in Texas. He's flying across the country right now, so he couldn't be on the show. Ron Syrak jumping in. He's changing planes in Philly. He'll be on the show. Let's check in with the people who make this show, the Golf Club, possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise, a shopping center, or store, townhouse, customer, single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right. Call Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Also, Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu. And Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing closed-circuit television surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. Systems that can be monitored anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company.
Got a great day today for you to get out and play a round of golf, and we've got tee times for you. First of all, Volcano. This is on the Big Island, if you don't know, just above Hilo. It's beautiful, but 55 degrees when we talked to them a few minutes ago. So you'll want to take a jacket, and you can play at 1024, 1042, 1106. Makalei has an 852 and a 916. And on Kauai, Poipu Bay, Southside Men's Club is going out today. The Kauai Interscholastic League having a round of golf today. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. There is a tee time at 11:10, 11:50, and at 2 o'clock. And this flood advisory for Oahu, that's not going to throw us off, is it? We've got some heavy rain, Punalu'u, and the north windward coast. So if you're going up to Turtle Bay to play a round of golf today, just watch out some slick driving conditions. Jerry King Golf, he's going to be joining us. Jerry King calling in from the beautiful island of Maui. Good morning, Jerry. Oh, Jerry's not here yet. Okay, well, we'll just have to roll with it. So we've got a whole bunch of things going on today. Jerry King calling in and weather delays happening and Ron Syrak changing planes and in Philly. It's so funny. Raphael is our on-air producer, and he said to me, hey, you know what? In Philly, the airport, they've got the best pretzels, soft pretzels. Ask Ron Syrak to pick some up. I'll pay top dollar if he diverts from Philadelphia to Hawaii. I can't tease him with the weather. That's not going to work. Got a lot of stuff going with Jerry King being a director of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. We've got so much for Hawaii State Junior golfers and across the country with the Masters. Doing what they're doing now with the drive chip putt. We've already got the 2015 contestants, and they'll be at the Masters a week before the Masters doing the drive chip putt competitions in the most amazing practice facility you'll ever see if you get a chance to go to the Masters. But for 2016, they've already set the dates. Puakea, May 23rd. The Dunes at Maui Lani on May 30th, Hualalai Resort hosting June 20th, and Kapolei Golf Course July 11th. Jerry is calling in now. Just got the notice. Maybe he's already on. Jerry King, good morning. Not quite. Okay, we're going to get connected. Ron Syrak might be calling in before Jerry. He just got off going down to the jetway. So in a couple of minutes, we should have it all together here. In addition to Jerry King and Ron Syrak, Ron's going to tell us about, you know, how Tiger's game has been off. How's it affecting his pocketbook is the big question, of course, we've all been wondering. And there are some people on this top 50 list of money earners in the game. Women have arrived. Mike Johnson, Golf Digest Magazine senior editor and equipment for Golf World and golfworld.com, of course. The hot list is out. The hot list is out, and we're going to talk about how those clubs get chosen to be on the hot list. And now, Jerry King. I've said good morning three times. Are you there, Jerry?
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning, Jerry. I was just talking earlier about the drive chip putt competition. Anna was talking about some rain that seems to be coming through. We've got a flood advisory on Oahu. Hey, what's it like on Maui?
You know, there's no rain and there's no flood going on over here on West Maui.
Excellent. So if you want to go out and play a round of golf on Maui, there the courses are in fabulous condition, and you'll have a great time. On Maui at Wailea, for instance, the Gold Course has a 1028 and a 1059, and the Emerald a 947 and a 1005. All right. Now, Ron Czyrak may be jumping in with us, Jerry, because he just landed in Philly, and he'll be changing planes. His next plane takes off at 1245.
So he'll be calling us from the airport.
Yes, he will be. He will be. And we'll be talking about all that money, Tiger Woods. I don't know if he's – do you think he's still number one on the money list? We'll have to see. So from your perspective, Jerry King, PGA, Director of Golf at McKenna Beach and Golf Resort, and president of Jerry King Golf, and the man who started the Kapalua Golf Academy. Maui Golf is thriving, and so many golf events have taken off, with the Maui Open being the most recent tournament that went down for a while, now back up. So many tournaments underway. What's the next one that you're looking forward to in the island scene?
You know, one of my favorites is the Hall of Fame. You know, because I guess being 16 years at the, you know, at Kapalua Resort, you know, the Plantation course is, it's one of my favorite golf courses. It's fantastic. And, you know, the Hall of Fame, we play it every year in May, and it's a great time of the year. It's a great time for, you know, what they say, it's always great weather at Kapalua. So I look forward to that event.
When you just said that, you know, so many people listening remember the win during the Kapalua event, you know, the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, which was, that was an aberration, right?
Well, I remember 2 years ago, I think I announced the first round four different times. I think the PGA Tour said that was a record. The win was a factor. But, hey, I'm telling you, this year was one of the best years of all time, you know, and I've done it for, this was my 20th year being the announcer for the Hyundai Tournament Champions, which used to obviously be the Mercedes Championships. And it was the best weather. I told them, you know, the whole time, I'm like, all right, this is TV time, TV weather.
TV weather, please. We were.
That's what we always want. Let everybody on the mainland know this is the way it is every day.
Exactly. It's always. Well, we actually, you know, take care of the Hawaii Visitor and Convention Bureau sends an envelope out to, I'm not sure who, but they manage the weather so that everything looks beautiful on television. You're, as the director of golf at McKenna Beach and Golf Resort, a lot of folks ask the question, what's happening at McKenna?
You know,
what is happening?
It's been an exciting 2 years at McKenna. You know, we've been closed for renovation. You know, it's still an operating resort. The hotel is phenomenal. But at the same time, Discovery Land Company is who I work for. And it is, I'm going to target around June or July for a reopening. And it's an exciting time.
It is an exciting time. Now, the property will be completely a private golf event, right? Will there be the North Course and the South Course still at McKenna?
You know, we're going to, we've renovated the North Course. Dennis Wise, which was Tom Fazio's top guy for 28 years, he did our remodeling. It was originally, obviously, a Robert Trent Jones Jr. golf course. But we're going to reopen with the North Course, and that's going to be our primary one. We're probably about, I don't know, you know, we're looking in the future for the South Course, renovating that and making it 36 holes again at McKenna.
Wow, excellent. Now, the hotel, as Jerry King, PGA, and the director of golf at McKenna just told us, the hotel, I didn't know this when I talked with you yesterday, Jerry. The hotel is open. It's 311 rooms.
Yeah, 310 rooms, and, you know, it's a fantastic resort hotel. And, you know, at this point, there's a lot of beach activities. There's just no golf activities. It's for the renovation.
Right, and it's right at the end of the road in Wailea, and any further, you get to the state park. So it's a beautiful location to stay. You're in close proximity to lots of gorgeous golf courses, because, after all, Maui's not that big. You can get to just about anywhere. Quickly, and the dunes at Maui Lani is just around the isthmus. The beautiful, kind of, what would you say? It's almost a lynx course, isn't it?
It's definitely, you know, you wouldn't imagine that on a golf course. It's right in the middle of Maui, but it's the sand dunes. It goes right across, and they've hosted the Maui Open for years, and fantastic golf course.
Yeah, and the Maui Open is on again this year.
That's always an exciting time of year. I'll miss my man Sam Sear being around for the Maui Open, because he's playing on the Asian Tour. But there's so many good players that come out for the Maui Open, and that's what makes it extra special, the great amateur and professional players we have around the state that come to Maui for a home run event.
Exactly. It is a home run event. Now, Sam Sear on the Asian Tour, I have a picture of you. You caddied for him during the Mid-Pac Open. That's coming up, one of the big
that
events.
His first professional win. That was a lot of fun.
Yes, that must have been a lot of fun. And being a part of the caddy relationship that you had with Sam, tell us, you know, the caddies are so important. And we watch on television, they talk to each other. It's more of a team than it used to be, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the thing about going out and caddying for a player, especially when you're their coach, I mean, you're trying to allow their athlete to shine and go out and compete at the highest level and just not get in their way. It's the most important thing. And, you know, you try to give them the tools, which is the knowledge, which is yardage and confidence, and to be able to go out there and achieve. And, you know, I couldn't say it any better, just saying that for me, when I'm caddying, stay out of the way. Let the talent achieve.
Beautiful. I heard one caddy say that it's really important. He keeps everything balanced, no emotions. So when the player has a bad shot, caddy is the same. Good shot, caddy is the same. There's no, because the caddies are, I mean, excuse me, the player has experienced all the emotion, and the caddy remains very tranquil, kind of a safe place to go back to.
That's right. I mean, when you're out there in the field and you're out there in the battleground, I mean, you're a warrior. So you want to make sure that you're keeping that energy to allow that player to stay confident and stay competitive and go out there and play that golf course better than anybody.
Exactly. So, and you go over to the Kapalua Golf Academy, and you're still teaching?
I still spend some quality time over there at the Kapalua Golf Academy. Ben Hongo is the director of instruction, and we worked together for almost 20 years. And what a fantastic talent and a great guy he is. And him and the staff, including Gregory Fields, which was Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, and Brad Bowen, you know, the staff at the Kapalua Golf Academy is, I'm a little biased because I've worked with all of them, and you know, they're great guys and great coaches. And, you know, they're still the premier golf academy in the state of Hawaii.
Everybody gets in touch with me when they're coming to the islands. Somebody's asking me about a reasonable golf course on Kauai to play. People have asked me about a reasonable golf course on Oahu to play. What would you, if somebody asked you, where's the most reasonable golf course to play on Maui, what would your answer be?
Well, it depends. If we're talking about our Kama'aina, you know, I mean, there's great Kama'aina rates at all the golf courses between Kapalua and Ka'anapali and down at Wailea. And so I'm a fan of all of them. And there's even members for a day at King Kamehameha. And we've got such great golf courses. Yeah, they're all so unique, and they're all, you know, in their own right, you know, very good golf courses. So it's hard for me to pick a favorite.
No, don't want favorites. It was just looking for, like, I always tell people to check out the Munis if they're really on a budget.
Yeah.
And isn't there a beautiful...
It's Dunes of Maui Lani and Pukalani. You know, that's a good one as well. Yeah.
And the Pukalani, another one, exactly. And there's one that's near Kahului, I think, that is completely escaping my mind, and it's a municipal course, and it's kept
going. Oh, we've got a new one in Kihei, and it's renamed. It's Maui Nui.
Maui Nui, is that
the old Eliere? That's right. I don't want to say old Eliere, but it's the new Maui Nui, but fantastic golf course and a great value, and it has a great practice facility, which I'm always a fan of. Golf course that has a good practice facility.
Yeah, because for folks who don't know the word, Kama'aina is the locals and people who live here, and you have to have a driver's license when you get the Kama'aina rate, and we can't share it, so it's not like I could bring somebody in and go, yeah, they're with me. We all
not
have
like
to...
Hawaiian Airlines, bring two friends, right?
Yeah, no. No, you can't do that. So I can't. If you're feeling very generous, you can maybe help pitch in with your friends and say, I'll pick up part of the fee. But it does get a little bit more pricey. That's why they want to play the really talked about courses like Kapalua, Plantation Course, the Bay Course. They want to play there, but they also want to stretch their dollars and find other places where they can still, stretch that dollar a little bit longer. We all need to do that.
It's all about timing. It's the time of day, and I've always felt that with all these golf courses, they're all very smart, and it's yield management, right? So my advice to everyone out there is pick the right time of day. Sometimes there's specials between 10 and 12. You've got the twilight rate, which is the best one. So it's all about when you play. If you want to go out at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're always going to pay a premium. You go out at 1 o'clock, that's when you're getting the deal.
Yes, great point. I'm going to ask Ralph, who really wants those soft pretzels from Philadelphia's airport. Whenever Ron calls in, would you just give me one of those lovely texts that you are so good at sending out? In the meantime, Jerry King is going to be with us, PGA. I mean, he was on Golf Channel for a long time. No, long time. I don't want to make it sound like he's ancient. He's very handsome.
You're dating me, Danielle. You're dating me.
No. But we're going to take a quick break and thank the people who make this show possible. We'll be back after this.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why the Acura MDX is designed just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with 3 separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available Acura Link surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. The Acura MDX. Maybe it's called the beaten path because it can be beaten. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out their latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit your Hawaii Acura dealers today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
I just went to jerrykinggolf.com, and it's great pictures of the guys on the TaylorMade staff. He's Jerry King is on the board of TaylorMade, Adidas, Ashworth. He's a board member of Golf Professional Marketing Academy. He's a certified instructor, Aimpoint Golf. He's one of only 33 certified Aimpoint instructors in the world. And he's on the board of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, has been since 2011, founded in 1998. And, of course, the goal is to be all-inclusive. And this is something that's coming up in a couple of days. And I bet you you're getting ready for the Hawaii Junior Golf Day, Saturday, March 21st. We're talking with Jerry King Golf, and the director of golf at McKenna. Jerry, you're going to be there for Hawaii Junior Golf Day?
Definitely. You know, it's one of the greatest days of the year for junior golf throughout Hawaii, and you know, it's a great time frame. Obviously, it's right around spring break, and I know it is for Maui, and you know, everybody has different times during spring break. But to be able to have all these golf courses open up their doors and their grass for our juniors around the state, and be able to help grow the game. And you know, Greg Nichols at Ko'olina has always been a great advocate for junior golf in Hawaii. And you know, he was one of the ones that started the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association with Mary B. Porter King. And the way that the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association works with the Aloha Section PGA is fantastic, to be able to bring golf to all of our young keiki throughout Hawaii. And you know, for the years that I've been with TaylorMade also supplies golf clubs. So it's one of those things where it's like, show up, learn the game, have a blast, learn how much fun it is. And, you know, like we've always said, the juniors are the future of our game. So an important day in Hawaii.
Yes, Hawaii Junior Golf Day is Saturday, March 21st. And Jerry and I will be talking about where that's happening and how you can get involved. But Ron Zyrak, senior writer for Golf Digest and author of three books, Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, The Game Before the Game, and Play Your Best Golf Now, that's Vision 54. He is PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient. And we're talking money. Ron Zyrak, welcome to the show.
Hello, Danielle. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. We were laughing when I told Raph that you're traveling in between, right? Going from one place, this is a stopover while you go to the next flight. Where are you going from Philly, by the way?
I'm going to Boston, going home. I was just down in Florida. You know, they're making a video to show when I get this Lifetime Achievement Award, and I spent one day hanging out with Arnold Palmer, and then the next day hanging out with Gary Player. So that was nice.
You have a tough life, sir. Okay, so you're on your way back home. We were going to, we might be able to pull this off. Raph says the best soft pretzels are made, and they are sold at the Philly airport. He would like you.
You've got to have the mustard on them, too.
You've got to have the mustard.
Yep.
Raph is in the boardroom right now going, yes, bring them here. He said he'd pay you top dollar if you just divert and come to Hawaii with those pretzels.
Not sure pretzels and cheese sticks. That's what Philly's.
I'm not sure that he can afford the top dollar that would need, you know, get you over here, but it looks like Tiger Woods can still afford to do something like that. And this is pretty amazing. How long did you spend putting together this Golf Digest article, Tiger's Still Number One in Making Money?
Yeah, you know, this is the 12th year that I've been doing this all-encompassing money list. And what I do is I calculate all the money that they win, both official and unofficial money, and then as best as I can figure, all their endorsements and appearance fees in there. And Tiger had a bad year. Tiger had his worst year. He only made $54 million.
Yeah, rough
year. That's not
bad
when that's a down year for you.
Yeah, you know, I looked at what you said. Tiger Woods' on-course income was only $610,775 for, you know, that amazing.
That's the worst of his professional career. But, you know, I mean, injuries played a big part of that. And injuries played a big part, too, in why some of the other numbers were down. Towards the end of the year, usually October, November, he does an Asia swing, and he'll pull maybe $10, $12 million in appearance fee money out of that Asia swing. And he had to cancel all of that this year because of the back problems.
There you go. Phil Mickelson, number two, kind of surprised me.
Phil Mickelson is really becoming, he's going to transition into being an elder statesman in the game in the way of Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus quite nicely. You look at them, his endorsement partners are real, you know, he's got Barclays and KPMG, ExxonMobil, Ford. He's got some really big, big name companies who pay him big money. And Phil is a terrific spokesperson for those companies. He's great at corporate outings. He's great at corporate meetings. He reads a lot. He can talk about, he can talk knowledgeably about a wide range of subjects, even those he doesn't know anything about. He can talk knowledgeably about them. But he's terrific with clients. They love him.
Rory McIlroy is number three with his, what was that, 14,183,976 this past year.
Yeah, and he made a lot of money on the golf course. You know, he won a, and then he's got the three really big name endorsements in there. He's got his Nike deal, his Omega deal, and his Bose headphones deals. And again, Rory is very valuable because he interacts with people really well also. And he's chosen right now to go with just a few very pricey endorsement deals, and it'd be interesting to see if he expands it. You know, keep in mind, each endorsement deal that a player has, you're probably giving up 2 to 3 days of your life a year in order to fulfill your contractual obligations to them to do commercials, photo shoots, things like that. So if you have 10 deals, you're giving up a month of your life each year. So some players, as the money's gotten more and more, some players have scaled back and do fewer deals now.
Okay, well, Rory's $14 million was on course for a total of $35 million for last year. As you said, on course is not everything, but I was surprised that it's almost half of his income. But then we get to the next two. They have absolutely no income on course, but they still are the fourth and fifth highest grossing income guys, giants in the game. And you spent a day with one of them. Arnold Palmer is number four.
Yeah, you know, he's 85 years old and still generates about $40 million in revenue out there. You know, some of that's architecture work, but most of it's on licensing deals. And, you know, what other sport can you remain relevant as long as you can in golf? You know, you really don't see athletes in other sports in the way that Palmer, Nicklaus, and Gary Player have, remain very, very lucrative. Because, you know, first off, you can keep playing the game. I mean, talking to Gary Player yesterday, he's 80 years old now. He still hits at 250, and he says he averages about 70 on his home course. You know, he says rarely shoots over 73.
Wow.
That makes you a very valuable. You can still go out and play corporate golf and do outings and interact with clients at a very advanced age, and you can't do that in any other sport.
Wow. Then the next one, and then we'll go to the women. I thought women on this list, finally, the top 50 income earners. Ron Syrak for the 12th year has put this all together for Golf Digest. Great article in the Hot List issue. The income for Jack Nicklaus, $22,470,250. I guess that's a lot of architectural work, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of architectural work in there. But, you know, like everybody else, they're very diversified. They have clothing lines. A lot of players now have moved into wines and do things like that. There's instruction videos, and there's instruction books. There's golf schools. So they really become sort of these very diversified individual corporations.
Wow. All right. Now, this is not previously on the list from the way I interpreted 41st, 42nd, and 47th. And 41st, Stacey Lewis. Wow. $3,900,000, taking in $2,720,750 just last year alone. Huge money.
Yeah, you know, she's got some good deals in there. She's got KPMG, she's got Marathon Oil, she's got Pure Silk shaving cream, and you know, the women are hurt by two things. First off, there's much, much less prize money on the LPGA Tour than there is on the men's tours. So there's no $10 million FedEx Cup bonus, you know, like Billy Horschel got last year. And there's less TV exposure, and TV exposure is where the value of the endorsement deals really come in. A guy like Rory McIlroy is worth a lot of money because every time he plays in a tournament, he's on TV. And when he's on TV, his logos are on TV. You know, keep in mind, it's a huge advantage golfers have in the endorsement market over any other athletes. They don't wear uniforms. So they're basically walking billboards. You know, there's logos all over them. And the value of those logos is being on TV. And the women, there were three women on the list this year. And Michelle Wee, Paula Kramer, and Stacey Lewis. And they would get more money if they had better TV exposure.
Absolutely. Paula Kramer, $764,000 plus, but her total was $4,500,000. Or something in that range, really something to see. Michelle Wee made $2 million last year. I still found those numbers to be high, although, as you say, they'd be higher if they would be able to have, you know, what year did we see the UPS outfit on Lee Westwood? Do you remember that, when he wore brown? He looked like not just...
Or how about the size of the 5-Hour Energy logo Jim Furyk has on his hat? You know, it's like it's enormous. You know, in both the case of Paula Kramer and Michelle Wee, they have a lot of value. Paula is very, very popular in Japan, and they market her very aggressively in Japan. And Michelle is worth a lot of money to Nike in Asia too. And you know, we have to think these are global businessmen and businesswomen, and it's not just what they make in the United States, it's what they make around the world. And particularly in Asia, where the game is still growing at a pretty good clip, that if you can get endorsement deals with companies that market over there, you can make some money.
All right, the big question. Everybody around the world, you know, talks about how we're losing golfers and income isn't quite what it used to be in the game, and we've got to grow the game. Are we seeing this, you know, lack of funds? Is it reflected in your list? Have the earning power of the guys, has it gone down since last year?
No, I think that it's safe to say that the health of the economic health of the professional game, the professional competitive game, is very, very good, both for men's and for women's. Mike Wan, commissioner of the LPGA, has done an incredible job turning that tour around. And the PGA Tour had made it through the recession really, really, really well with some shrewd leadership by Kim Fincham. European Men's Tour has had some problems with the downness of the European economy and lost some tournaments. But the health of the competitive game, the professional game, is very strong. It's the recreational game where we're still struggling. Yes, we do need more recreational golfers still.
Yes, absolutely. So the corporations are as healthy. The top 5% is doing just fine. The great entrepreneurs building huge hotels with huge estates of golf courses, those people will be just fine. It's the people in the 90% below who probably won't be able to. I just was wondering how long the corporations could sustain the prize money some of these top players are getting.
Well,
it's like forever.
It's, you know, they're still getting, they clearly get something back from it. They're not, they're not in business to lose money. So these have values. And, you know, one of the trends I've seen in the 12 years I've been doing this list, when I first started, it was dominated by golf equipment companies. And now financial services, pharmaceuticals, automotive, all these other industries have realized what great value golfers are as business partners for all the reasons we discussed. You can play golf with Phil Mickelson. You can't play baseball with Derek Jeter or basketball with LeBron James. And that's a huge value. So this broad range of companies has come in. You know, it used to be, as these new companies came in, used to be, for instance, if you had a deal with Titleist, Titleist would want the hat. And it started, and I think the first exception they made was about 10 years ago with Ernie Els. They said to Ernie, okay, we can pay you X amount, but we'll let you sell the hat to somebody else. So he went out and he sold it to somebody else. And the hat's a very valuable part of the player because it's in every photo and it's in every TV shot. So the companies that are aligned with the top players are very, very, very happy with the value they're getting back.
Fabulous. Ron Czyrak, thank you so much. A senior writer for Golf Digest. Changing planes in Philly on the way home. When are we going to get to see what you were doing in Florida with Gary Player and Arnold Palmer?
Well, that's going to be in a video that they're going to show at the Golf Writers Dinner on the Wednesday before the Masters this year, and I'll make sure you get a copy of it.
I'll send
a copy of the video out your way.
Greatly appreciated. You're a friend indeed. Thank you very much, Ron.
All right. Talk to you later, Daniel. Bye-bye.
Aloha. Bye-bye. I'd like to get, before we take our commercial break, I wanted to get Jerry. Do you remember when the idea of putting a logo for another company on a professional player's a hat or shirt would have been a faux pas, to put it mildly, in the industry?
Well, it depended on, you know, who the player was and what year it was. Now you look at it, and it's commonplace to be able to have not only, you know, on every side of the cap, but then you've got it on your lapels within your polo shirt. I mean, you get it on the back. I mean, you mentioned Lee Westwood with UPS and Warren Brown. I mean, it's a different generation, and it's all based on television and viewership, just like Ron was. He said it so well. And it's a different world now, but you're right. Back in the day, I mean, you saw a lot of players that they weren't being as bold. They weren't putting as many logos on there. And, you know, one was a ton. Now five is pretty common.
Yeah. Well, it was cool to have it on your bag. But I just remember all the, goodness, did you see him? He has that, what does he have on his, was that really a commercial on his shirt? Did you see that? That logo for some... What are we coming to, NASCAR? What's golf becoming? You know, it's just it's interesting to see how things change, and yeah, they do, don't they? We just have to roll with it. Yeah. All right, we're going to be back.
I'm still a fan of subtle. I'm still a fan of subtle. You know, call me old school, but you're right. It's a different day.
Let's talk some Hawaii Junior Golf after we thank the people who make this show possible. My name is Danielle Tucker. Jerry King, PGA, with me for the next 20 minutes, and we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Alert Alarm of Hawaii provides CCT surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored via the internet from anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. We can also monitor your video systems for you from our 24-hour local 5 Diamond Alarm Monitoring Center. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Security solutions for your peace of mind.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay.
Do you have a child or know someone who does that wants to learn how to play golf? Free? At courses throughout the islands on March 21st, new and beginning juniors will receive expert instruction at no charge. Hawaii Junior Golf Day is brought to you by the Aloha Section PGA and the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. To sign up, go to hsjga.org or call 532-0559.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Yeah, well, I just blew my... Sorry about that, Raph. I just jumped the gun here. Jerry King is on the board of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And, of course, he's also a member of the... And was on the board of the Aloha Section PGA. And Hawaii Junior Golf Day, we... Stop talking about that. As Ron came in to tell us about how much money is being made, we could take some donations, couldn't we?
Oh, definitely. You know, always. You know, it's It's such a great organization, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And I invite everybody to go online to hsjga.org and, you know, and look around and see how they can be a part of, at a different level, junior golf in Hawaii. And, you know, it's so many good events, and especially on March 21st, you know, the national, the statewide golf day. You know, they can go online, check it out, and become a member of the HSJGA.
Exactly. You don't have to play golf to become a member of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. You just can be involved in support by becoming a member. Your money is going to go to some really cool events that the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association puts on. HSJGA is almost harder for me to say, Jerry, than say halfway out.
You know, Danielle, I've always used the comparison. You know, I have several tour players that are out there that are playing that I teach and coach. And you know, they're sponsored by several individuals throughout the state of Hawaii that step up and say, you know what, I want to, you know, live vicariously through my player, fund them, help fund them. And then it's like you've got a racehorse out there that you get to watch. And I believe that it's the same thing with junior golf in Hawaii, is that when you become a member of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association and you support different events and you just support the organization as a whole, you have resources out there. You've got our young junior golfers. You get to track and tournament play and know that you're helping them along the way. And it's a special feeling.
Excellent. Hawaii State Junior Golf Association is hsjga.org online, where you can find out more about, as an adult, you can participate, you can volunteer to help out at all of the events that are put on. And this Hawaii Junior Golf Day on March 21st is going to be at all islands participating at the Princeville Makai Golf Course at Puakea, on Oahu at the Hawaii Prince, Ko'olau, Ko'olina, Olomana, Turtle Bay, on Maui at Waiehu, at Ka'anapali, at Wailea, that would be the Emerald and the Gold Course participating, and the Big Island, Hilo, Muni, and Mauna Kea Resort. Now, kids, get your parents to go online, because the first 60 children to register online for each site gets a free tea gift. So you'll get a tea gift, and this is all free. It's no charge. Just got to tug on this shirt sleeve of mom or dad and say, we're going to this.
I just got chicken skin. It's going to be exciting.
It is going to be exciting. It is. It's awesome. So we've got the hot list comes out every year. And, Jerry, we're going to bring, of course, Mike Johnson. He's one of the three final guys who really puts the list together. There's Mike Statura, Mike Johnson, and Mike Johnson will tell us what the person's name is. I want you to participate in this because you are on the board of TaylorMade, so you're involved. And if you would participate, that would be really cool, in asking questions too. So
definitely.
Is that okay?
Game on.
Okay with you?
I love it.
Oh, game on. Okay, cool. All right. Mike Johnson, welcome to the show.
It's great to be back with you, Danielle.
Excellent. Mike is Golf Digest Magazine Senior Editor Equipment, also Golf World. And this is the 12th year? How many years have you been doing the Hot List?
Hard to believe it is the 12th time that we have done this. I still remember back in mid-2003, I was on a back road in Texas with my partner Mike Statura, and we got a phone call from Jerry Tardy, who's the editor-in-chief of Golf Digest, and he said, I've got an idea. I think we should get in the business of rating and reviewing golf equipment. And we talked about it a little bit, and when I hung up the phone, I kind of looked at Mike Statura and said, you know, this is a really bad idea, but in 5 years from now, we're going to think it's a really good idea. And given kind of the reaction that we get every year to the hot list, that's kind of panned out.
It's interesting that Matt Ginello on Golf Channel, Morning Drive, I think it was, you were on Morning Drive talking about some of the hot list items. He said that the hot list that Golf Digest puts out is to the industry what Vogue's Fashion Week or Fashion List is to the fashion industry. It has a huge influence on consumer decision-making and even on what the manufacturers do. Do you find that to be the case?
You know, it really does. I mean, when we talk with manufacturers, and a lot of times we'll kind of review with them, some of them will have questions about how their club did, you know, why did it do well or why did it maybe not do so well. And but we always tell them, you know, don't change what you do because of the hot list. But the fact is, a number of them do. Some of them will see some of the comments about maybe the grip isn't good enough, and they'll go for a little higher quality grip. Or in the case I know certainly of Wilson, for years the testers were dinging them for kind of this boxy look to their irons, a kind of a boxy toe. And over the years, they rounded and smoothed out that toe as a result of that feedback. But as far as the industry goes, they do wait on it. They ask us when the results are coming out. They anticipate it. It's important to them. It can impact their business, certainly. You know, it's a little bit like the consumer reports. You know, seal of approval. When people go to look for golf equipment, this is like taking the editors of Golf Digest in the store with you.
It was interesting that there was, in the beginning of the magazine, that the Hot List magazine, Golf Digest, the fellow who started Golf Digest, what is his name? I didn't write a note on that. I can't remember his name.
Well, there were a few of them, but Howard Gill was certainly one of them, and Bill Davis was another.
Okay, I think it was Bill Davis. He, in his bag, he had 14 clubs, and none of the 14 clubs had a shared equipment manufacturer. So he had 14 clubs made by 14 different manufacturers.
I know guys like that.
You do? Jerry King?
Oh, yes, definitely. The Pope remix of golf clubs.
Yeah, but he did it so that he wouldn't upset any of the advertisers. I think that's a charming story because
it's kind of reflective of the I'll call it the old school way of thinking, which is you know, we see some things on equipment blog sites and all that you know, how can you do the hot list when you accept equipment advertising? It's bought and paid for, et cetera, et cetera. And if you examine it more closely, that argument just really falls apart. Fact is, you know, we've had companies who have been very upset with us over the years who have pulled their business from Golf Digest. And the fact is, and when we talked about this early on when we were doing the project, we said, look, there is no way that everyone's going to be happy. Every year somebody's going to be upset. Because there is a little bit of calling the baby ugly here. You know, if you're not a gold medal winner in every category, or if you don't get 5 stars across the board, across all our criteria, it means that we have found something that can still be improved on your product. So, you know, it heartens us when we see a company like Adele get a gold medal in putters, or Scratch Wedges a couple of years ago get a gold medal in wedges. And when people kind of say, well, yeah, but it's dominated by the big companies, well, there's a reason a company like TaylorMade does well. And that's because they spend a lot of money on R&D. They spend a lot of money on manufacturing processes. They spend a lot of money on making sure they use the best materials in their clubs. So it would be kind of a shock if their product wasn't rated favorably.
Yeah, and just hot list judges are Mike Satura, Michael Johnson, who's on the air with us right now, Golf Digest equipment editor, and John Strege. He's been on the air with me several times. So these are the three hot list judges. However, really, really important, they're not the ones who actually give the input. I mean, they are the ones who give the input to these judges. So we have players. One of the players who is testing the equipment, is he really 81 years old?
Well, he was merely testing Super Game Improvement irons. We have a core panel of 16 player testers that test the majority of the clubs. But even within that group, We have our real lowest handicappers only testing players' irons and game improvement irons, and then the ones who are kind of our mid-handicappers test game improvement and super game improvement because we're trying to match the swings to the club. On the super game improvement iron category only, we bring in another five or six testers who have handicaps between 15 and, say, 22, 23, because their swings fit that category of clubs. So, yes, did we have an 81-year-old tester? We sure did. But that's because his swing speed matches what manufacturers are trying to design to in super game improvement iron. So he was testing one category of clubs, and I believe there were only a dozen or so entries in that category. So it wasn't like we were wearing him out. But what was important to us about that individual was he had an incredibly repeatable swing. That's what makes a good tester.
Well, he has a 22 or 23 handicap.
Mm-hmm. But with a very repeatable swing, and that's all you can ask.
That's amazing. I mean, it's wonderful to see. It just shows, you know, we can play it when they're a little cakey, like we're talking about Hawaii Junior Golf Day with Jerry King, or we can play it when we're long retired, or maybe not retired, but still working. A lot of people don't ever want to retire. When they always just want to go play golf and go to work and have some fun. There's also the retailers who judge or provide information to the judges, and scientists who provide information. Then what do you three guys do once all this information is put together? And then, Jerry, I'd love for you to ask the next question after Mike Johnson from Golf Digest talks about how they put it all together. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm very proud of our process, the thoroughness of it. And what we do is Mike Stachura, John Strege, and myself, we make it very clear to everyone. We are the only ones with a vote in this process. But what we do, like any other, you know, just like good reporting on a story, is you want your decisions to be based on solid information and as much data as humanly possible. So in the area of demand, we have a group of leading retailers across the country who we bring in, and we go literally category by category, club by club, and we ask them, you know, what do you anticipate for this product going forward? And it's not just about market share or tour use. It's about what would be the general excitement about that product. How is that company's customer service? What do they do in the areas of customization and special orders? What helps set them apart in the area of getting the club to the consumer? So then in the area with the academics, I've taken a crash course in physics at the University of Waterloo in Canada to try to get a hold of on this. But, you know, I'm not an engineer. Mike Stachura is not an engineer. John Strege is not an engineer. So we bring in some of the leading academics, not only in the country, but we have two coming from Canada as well. And they help us go through the technology stories and claims of all the companies. We ask the companies to submit to us any information that they feel will help us better understand what they're trying to do with a golf club. And we say, submit something that tells us what you were trying to do, why you were trying to do it, why is it significant for the golfer, and how does it advance the category of the club that it's in. And we often get 100-150-page white papers on each of the clubs. We look through them, but the academics really look through them, and they are able to tell us what's significant, what may be, you know, kind of just window dressing, and sometimes things that they think are a really cool idea, but maybe not quite there yet. And then with the player testers, we have one editor assigned to every two player testers. We observe every shot they hit and get their comments, get their scores. And then when we get back to our office in Wilton, Connecticut, we spend 2 weeks locked in a conference room going through all of it.
Are you guys friends afterwards?
while the room is fairly soundproof, the production department, which sits right outside of that conference room, they sometimes are treated to some pretty loud arguments.
Never a dull moment, I'm sure, with all that testing and that group of people.
I believe Ashley Mayo, the one year she was a judge, called Mike Statura a communist.
Uh-oh. Go, girl. Okay, Jerry, you have a question.
Yes, Mike, so I've got a good question. So, you know, over the years that I've, been with TaylorMade and different companies, I've been with Titleist as well and have great relationships with Callaway and many of the other companies. And, you know, I look at where is the biggest opportunity for these companies now? I know, you know, in the last couple of years, TaylorMade has 42 engineers that are out there working on golf balls and working on golf clubs. And it's the technology of, you know, the putters and the drivers we hear so much about. And that's probably the most turned over or purchased product by, you know, all of our amateur golfers out there. Where do you see the biggest opportunity for these manufacturers to grow and to improve technology? Because I think that there's so many players out there that feel like, okay, well, how can you make this driver better? You know, how can you make this putter better? Where do you see the opportunity, and where do you think these manufacturers are really focusing on, you know, increasing their technology?
That's a great question. And the answer is unfortunately not overly sexy, but it's actually a really good answer for everyday players. And that is, I think manufacturers have gotten pretty close to maxing out the center hit. You know, drivers, they're all at the maximum on the center. You know, most manufacturers are actually dumbing down, you know, from their original design because they have to stay within the rules, right? But what they've been able to do is, because the center is now pretty much maxed out, is they've been able to turn their attention on how to improve the off-center hit. And that's been a huge boon for everyday players. Not so great for the tour players, but it's wonderful for the everyday players. You know, a quarter inch or a half inch hit, high, low, right, left on a driver now, the loss of speed is so much less now than it was 5 years ago. Ditto on, you know, fairway woods, irons, go right down the line. The other thing, too, is you go even to a club like wedges. Everyone was all up in arms over the groove rule, right? Oh, it's going to make it impossible. A lot of the wedges now, if you put them on a robot with the square groove wedges, they perform just as well. And because the reason is manufacturing always gets better, and it allows companies to do things today that weren't capable 5 years ago. And I've always said, just when you say we're done, we're never done. The clubs are always getting better.
Love that. Love that.
I got to talk to you about the adjustable woods have become very, very popular. Before we jump into that, and possibly the mini driver, a two wood. I wanted to just mention Happy Putter with an adjustable putter with the three lie angles, three lofts, three offset angles, three sets of heel and toe weights. And this is from Vikash Sanyal. Basically, can say he's got 81 putters in one that you buy, and I guess you could make it left-handed or right-handed, that one club. Is that correct?
That is all correct. And, you know, for those who aren't familiar with the name Vikash Sanyal, Vikash was part of the group that started up Never Compromise and was also part of the group with Odyssey as well. So, you know, he does have a background in putter making. And the Happy Putter, you know, some people may say, oh, the name's a little hokey and, you know, the colors on it are a little much, and you might need an engineering degree to figure out all the machinations of the adjustability. But the fact is, what he's come up with is really an intriguing idea, and that is a putter that can be pretty much customized to fit any person's stroke, any person's stance. And then, because, you know, we all like to fiddle around with putters because it's never us. You know, I three-jacked that last green. It's not, I'm not going to practice green to practice. I want a new putter. It's got to be the putter, right? Well, here you can do something totally different with your putter if you want without having to buy something new.
And that's really fun. I asked year after year, so when are they going to start adjusting putters? Because they're talking about adjusting this, adjusting that. Well, here we go. This is the perfect example of adjusting putters, because a lot of people couldn't even see how you would do that. You know, how, and the answer is right there. Now, the adjustable drivers, we all get fitted for our drivers. They've been around. And what, I think the driver from TaylorMade got the Hot List Gold, has 1,800 something settings. And that's way beyond anything I could even begin to comprehend in putting together.
Well, yeah, the R15, certainly it has a lot of different levers that you can push, right? I mean, it has the movable weights, and that's really what allows them to say it has all those settings, because if you have movable weights along a track, essentially the number of settings is infinite, because, it's, you can go 0.00001 more than something else. And so, over 1,100 settings, sure, but how different is setting 972 from 973? But that doesn't diminish the fact that what they've done is give the consumer lots of options to get to their optimal shot shape. You know, You can move the weights to the heel if you're trying to combat a slice, or you can move them out to the toe if you tend to hook the ball a little bit. You have face angle and lie angle options and loft options with the adjustable hosel. So there are all sorts of things you can do with a driver like that. And I know it's intimidating for a lot of consumers. They don't like to mess around with it too much. But as I tell all of them, there's nothing wrong with taking a bucket of balls and going out and experiment. You know, you have this great tool at your disposal. Don't be afraid to experiment with it, because at worst, you can always set it back to how it was.
Yeah,
there you
well
go.
Said. Well said.
Yeah, and Jerry, I was wondering, at one point, you know, after you've taken lessons and you've worked on your swing, and you just can't get rid of that hook, you know, just that slice just won't go away. When do you go to the club to change the setting?
I think you go to the club, you know, no matter what, if you have the technology. I mean, if you know your tendency is to, you know, say, overdraw the ball. Well, it's just like Mike was saying, you know, go and you place the weight a little bit more towards the toe, because we always say whoever misses it the best wins, or whoever misses it the best has the most fun. So you have the opportunity to be able to, once you know your tendency, dial in that driver so your misses are better. So I say you do it right up front. But you, once again, you have to know your tendencies, and it's always a bonus to have a PGA professional to guide you along the way to make sure that you are adjusting it correctly.
Yeah. Absolutely. When you get something like that, I definitely wouldn't do it and figure it out myself without knowing anything.
And Danielle, you know, Jerry's so spot on, and it's the part that I think consumers miss out on, and we kind of bang this drum hard. Go get fit. Go to a PGA professional or a professional club fitter who knows what they're doing, and what happens then is the adjustability in clubs becomes an amazing club fitting tool. Because under someone's supervision who knows what to look for and can spot your tendencies and figure it out in, you know, literally minutes, that's where adjustability really comes in. That way you don't have to try 5 or 6 or 7 different drivers. You're trying one driver, you're just changing the setting.
Okay, let's go from drivers to woods. The most difficult club in my bag. I want to ask you, what is this, and I'll start with Mike, and then Jerry, you might have some thoughts on this. This idea of the mini driver that I was reading about in Golf Digest, the Hot List issue. Mini drivers or two wood? What's going on here?
Well, I'm not a big proponent of them, quite frankly, unless you are actually going to use them as a driver. If you have trouble hitting a 460cc driver, I really don't see how hitting one that's smaller is going to help you, although the shorter shaft might help you make better contact in the center of the face more often. So, you know, there is probably a niche market for these clubs, but if you're talking about a fairway wood, I actually am a proponent of going the other way. I think way too many everyday players are trying a 13-degree or 15-degree 3-wood, and they're making it harder on themselves. Golf Digest did a study 2 years ago where everyday players actually hit a 4-wood longer than they were hitting their 3-wood.
Wow. So, Jerry, you were going to say something?
Well, you know, I think he's right on. You know, Mike's right on. You know, we're all looking for better forgiveness. And when you go to higher loft and you go to a shorter shaft, well, I mean, the physics are with you. You're going to have better misses. So I think that was kind of the driving factor with the, you know, let's say even back in the Callaway day where they had the deuce. You know, I mean, that was many, many years ago. So it's not a new concept, but it's something to where it's like, how can we miss it better and go out and have more fun? So, you know, most of my higher handicappers that are out there, you know, looking to have more fun, if I'm going to give them one fairway wood, I'll give them a 5-wood or a 5-high launch because they're going to go out and have more success with a shorter club, with more loft. And I fully agree with Mike. There's too many players out there with 13 or 15-degree 3-woods, and they'd be better off, like he said, hitting a 4-wood or even a 5-wood because if you're missing it better, you're hitting it farther more consistently. So that's about the biggest advice I give to my players. Get more loft. You know, hit a 5-wood instead of a 3-wood and watch how your scores will go down.
Fabulous. I just looked at the clock. I've been so enjoying your talking, listening to you and Jerry and Mike. It's 8:05, and I think you have an appointment, Jerry.
I do. It's my mission to stop the chop, and I have a lesson here, so I have to get going.
Okay. Thanks so much for being on the show with me this morning. It was awesome having you talking with Mike about equipment. That was great. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Aloha, Danielle, and aloha, Mike.
Thank you, Jim.
Aloha. Awesome. Okay, Mike, when we talk about adjustable woods, it's pretty much becoming the norm in the industry. What do you think? Is it something you should get fitted for again, just like you would your driver?
Well, sure. You know, if you think about fairway woods a little bit, everyone likes to get fit for the driver because it's kind of the swimsuit model of golf equipment. But you're hitting that club off of a tee, and there's a big face, so there's a little bit of room for forgiveness. A fairway wood that you're hitting off the ground, it's almost more important for you to be fit for that because if you mishit a club coming into the ground, even just a little, you're going to have a pretty poor result. So I know people say, oh, you say get fit. You know, it's a pain in the tush. But if you're serious about playing your best golf, you need to do it. It's an investment in upping your enjoyment every single time that you go out on the golf course.
Okay. All right. And I have one more point, and I wanted it to just be you and I talking about this. First, before we get to my question, I just almost forgot. You gave out 111 medals this year. Is that a record? It seems like there's a long, long hot list.
I don't think it's a record. We're normally in that kind of 105 to 110 mm-hmm. range. I think what people don't realize, though, are actually how many clubs we consider. We considered well over 300 clubs this year for the Golf Digest Hot List. So, you know, less than a third of the clubs that we considered made the list. You know, people will look at the list itself and say, wow, that's a lot. And, yeah, it is. But I think what we try to do is our job isn't to tell you what to play because we haven't seen you swing, Mr. and Mrs. Reeder. But what we can tell you are if you go outside of any clubs that are on this list, you're taking a bit of a chance. We think every club on this list serves a purpose for some segment of the golfing population, and that's helpful. And I think rather than the gold medals and the silver medals, which are what a lot of people tend to focus on, I would encourage people who are interested or possibly looking to buy golf equipment to read through the write-ups because that's where we kind of dive down into them and kind of let people know what kind of golfer this club is for, what kind of bells and whistles this club has that may appeal to a certain type of player. If you're a player just looking for distance, for example, out of your fairway wood, you'll probably be able to figure out which ones do that through our write-ups. If you're looking for which ones are easier to hit off the turf or maybe do something neat with the sole to make turf interaction a little easier, you're going to be able to figure that out as well. So is it a lot? Yeah, it's a lot. But fact is, there's a lot of great equipment out there, and it's a lot harder for us now than it was 12 years ago. 12 years ago when we did the hot list, there was some really good stuff, there was some pretty good stuff, and then there was some real garbage, and it made it very easy. Now we are truly discerning shades of excellence.
Excellent. And the question I do have to ask about, and because I have long criticized industry, the equipment industry, for rolling out new technology every 4, 5, 6 months. I can't afford a $400 investment when I've just made one. And all of a sudden, my resale is worse than driving off the lot with a car. You know, it's worth maybe a third, if I'm lucky, of what I paid, if I can find somebody who wants to buy this, because the new thing's out, right? So we have three Callaway drivers that have received gold medals. Two to Cobra, two to Nike, Ping, TaylorMade, one with Titleist, and Wilson. Doesn't choosing three from Callaway make these other guys say, well, maybe we should put more product out there, more different things, instead of holding off for a year?
Well, I think that's a business decision for each company. Certainly the glut of product in the marketplace can be an issue. And we've heard a lot, you know, Ben Sharp, the new CEO at TaylorMade, has talked a lot about how he's going to kind of manage that inventory better. In the case, say, though, of multiple drivers' entries on the hot list, and Callaway, for example, those are three very different drivers. And the person who's going to look at the Big Bertha Alpha 815 is probably not going to be looking at the Big Bertha V-Series or the XR or XR Pro. They're all kind of gauged at different segments of the market. And I think that's what you're seeing manufacturers do more and more. And it does lead to some business difficulties, which is it's not a one-size-fits-all market anymore. Very few companies are willing to put one driver out there and say, hey, here you go. Anyone can fit into this driver. So what they're trying to do is segment the market as best they can, which is why the majority have at least two entries. And, you know, I mean, Ping had three drivers, right? Titleist is two. Cobra and Nike, you mentioned, have two each. You know, Callaway has three. I mean, it is a little bit confusing for the consumer. There's no doubt about it.
But there is a segmentation now in the marketplace being acknowledged. But I did have, and my final point is there are no women. No women testers, no women scientists, no women, I guess there aren't that many women in the equipment business selling, but it just seemed like there should be more women in the mix. Are there plans to maybe get
that's not
women?
Entirely true. One of our retailer panel is a woman, okay. And one of our player testers is a woman as well. But you're right. I mean, on balance, we don't have a lot. Fact is, we're not testing women's equipment here. We're testing men's equipment. And, you know, that is different. The Erica Larkin, who was one of our player testers, she is a very accomplished player and able to stand up to the rigors of the testing. And that's helpful to us. We have had Krista Dunton in past years as well. And Susan Roll, who's a very decorated retailer, has been on our retail panel probably 7 or 8 years and is incredibly helpful to us. But, yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's not a lot of women on there, but if you think about it logically, what we demand in terms of testing, and we're testing men's equipment, unless someone's a really accomplished player, they're not going to be able to help us out very much.
And then I guess the question is, we need to get more women's equipment being tested. Or a Coates Golf just came into the market recently, and they're doing the LPGA Championship to bring more attention to their product. So is there can there be, now, I'm sorry, I'm looking at two different clocks. Our clock froze, and I may be going a bit long considering I have another guest on. I apologize to Jim, who's waiting, but our clock seems to have frozen in the studio. I'm in recovering from back surgery, so I'm doing this from home. Do you think is there enough product to test women's clubs and have a women's panel, since we are trying to grow the game and women are the best audience right now to attract?
Well, no, we ask that question of ourselves every year, and I think you touched on why we don't do it. Right now, there's simply not a wide enough offering of women's golf equipment where there really needs to be a thorough, comprehensive review, because you don't have that much to sift through. It would be nice if women had more choices, no doubt about it. But right now, you know, a lot of the companies will make full sets, you know, driver through in various configurations. Some are 8 pieces, some are 10 pieces, some are the full 14 pieces. And then they will offer some of the other product, obviously with lighter weight, more flexible shafts. I think if we got a little more of a critical mass in women's equipment, yeah, we would look hard at doing something with that.
Excellent. Thanks so much. Great conversation. Really enjoyed. Thank you very much.
Anytime, Danielle, and hope you're on the mend.
Oh, yes. I'm doing much better. I'm walking. I was up the first day walking, so everybody wants to go into their recovery story. Don't start me. Thank you, Mike, so much for being on the show with us. And we'll be back right after this. We're talking Orange Whip. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing.
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Do you have a child or know someone who does that wants to learn how to play golf? Free? At courses throughout the islands on March 21st, new and beginning juniors will receive expert instruction at no charge. Hawaii Junior Golf Day is brought to you by the Aloha Section PGA and the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. To sign up, go to hsjga.org or call 532-0559.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
I'm 9 now, but when I was 8, I'd do things I wasn't supposed to.
You don't talk when people are putting.
Always repair the ball mark.
You keep your own score, so you have to know how to act.
And you gotta tell the truth.
Put a golf club in kids' hands and watch them grow.
If you do certain things that you're not supposed to, you get a shot added to your score. You don't want to do those things.
The First Tee teaches kids values that will impact their communities and the rest of their lives.
If it wasn't for golf, I'd be like my friends, a couch potato.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KGU AM Honolulu. Jim Hackenberg, PGA Orange Whip and Orange Peel developer and creator. Thank you. You are at orangewhiptrainer.com. And before we even start, will you please come onto the show on another date soon?
Yes.
Good. Because I, as I think you may have heard, the clock at home where I'm doing the show, because I can't carry anything that to the station right now.
Sure.
It froze. So I'm really glad that you stuck around and hung in there. I love the device, the orange whip, and then you've developed the orange peel and the orange wedge. Now, the whip, from what I understand, is wasn't that the first product that you came out with quite a while ago?
That's exactly right. I brought it out in January of 2008. And, that's what I introduced at the PGA show and what got everybody interested. And then I needed to make a few other sizes, and I needed to make the orange peel to help these people center their balance rather than move laterally. It allowed them to center their balance and rotate.
Okay, now explain that. It is a great workout. This is like a club. Imagine a club that has what looks like an orange stuck on where the head is. On your club, we'll take the club head off and put an orange on it. And there you've
exactly.
got orange whip. And it's important to help you. Is it? Explain how it helps you with your swing, because I really liked how you explain it. You slow down the swing and make a more Ernie Els type. Explain
that's
that.
That's exactly right. Most golfers tend to try to hang on tight and hit at the golf ball. I've been trying to promote swinging in rhythm and in balance. So I developed the orange whip with that weighted orange ball in place of the club head. I have a very flexible shaft on the orange whip, very similar to a fishing rod. And then I have a counterbalance on the other end of the grip, and that's what allows the thing to balance while you swing it. So when you swing it back and forth, developing your rhythm, it's also developing your swing plane. It's also keeping you in balance. And because it's heavier than a golf club, you're getting a great stretch before you play, and you're getting a great workout if you're doing it in the off season.
Wow, that's cool. Now, the wedge you created for practicing chipping and the shorter game?
Shorter shots and indoor practice. It's basically a shorter version of our orange whip. It's 8 inches shorter than the full size. We also have a mid-size, and then we have the wedge, which we're talking about now. And that's more for short game, chipping, putting, little wedge swings. But indoors, if I'm watching TV, I'll swing the orange whip wedge because I won't have to worry about hitting any lights or any lamps. And it's safer,
let's
say.
I like that. I live in Hawaii where I can go outdoors. We've got a flood advisory in effect. There's still a considerable amount of rain, but nothing that would keep you really inside. And this is perfect to be able to. You are repeating the golf swing motion. So does it in a way help you learn to swing correctly?
Very much, because when it's swung incorrectly or if you hang on too tight, it becomes awkward, and it tries to almost pull you off balance. But if you relax and start slowly and let it swing, because of its weight and counterweight, it's going to allow you to learn to hinge the wrists when it's appropriate and then unhinge them when it's appropriate. And by repeating this motion, it becomes second nature. I liken it to the old movie Karate Kid. If you can do the paint the fence or wax on, wax off, if you repeat this over and over, you're going to develop a skill, and it's an easy skill to develop because you're not hitting at a golf ball and getting poor results. You're just swinging it wherever you have space.
Excellent. Now, the orange peel, imagine you've peeled off a piece of the orange, and it's the orange peel, and now you put it on the floor, and it's big enough for you to stand in. It's a pretty big orange, and you get to rock side to side, because an orange peel is going to be have the edges kind of bow out on each side. And it's called the orange peel. It looks like a real core workout.
Think of it like this, though. It's concave, like you explained. It's curved, but I have it stable, so it will not rock. So imagine what I've tried to do is I tried to create the ability to stand inside of a sphere, and let's make it a sphere or a ball that's about 9 foot in diameter. Well, I didn't want to make the whole ball, so I just made a portion of one about the size of a boogie board. And you lay it on the ground, and it's got a concave surface, so when your feet are on it, it feels like you're inside of a bowl or a sphere, and that basically centers you and makes it easier to make a rotational golf swing, and it makes it easier to use the ground to help you to do that. It's very much, I basically took the idea from Leonardo da Vinci. He has a picture that's called Vitruvian Man, where it shows a guy inside of a circle with his arms out and his feet out. And when I looked at that picture, I could see that the way he positioned his feet, it was centering his core. And I go, well, that's the answer. If you could swing inside of this, the golf swing would become much easier.
Wow. So on your website, which is orangewhiptrainer.com, you write, you've heard the golf terms rhythm, balance, tempo, and timing. Orange Whip delivers a feeling to these words, achieving our mission to help every golfer find their best golf swing possible. That's awesome.
That's exactly right. And I developed it. I actually developed these products for the higher handicappers, but the lower handicappers are the ones who love it right away. The tour professionals, the teaching professionals, and just the players that play a lot of golf, they get it. The moment they start swinging an Orange Whip, they go, hey, I know what this does. This helps my tempo, my timing. It loosens me up. But I really designed it for those people who don't know how to swing like that, who do not have that feeling. So it's been fun because I developed it for one group of golfers, but it appeals to all groups of golfers.
Do you ship, like, to all states?
Yes. We ship to all states and around the world. We sell quite a bit around the world now. We've really started to grow.
Some people look at a price and say, oh, that's pretty good. But then the shipping price, do you have a pretty reasonable? I mean, at one point I saw there was free shipping. But sometimes that doesn't apply to the state of Hawaii.
Well, and that's correct. We do our best. But, yeah, there is a bit of a charge. I couldn't quote you off the top of my head. But I do know recently we had a gentleman from Hawaii, actually from Wailea, ordered 3 Orange Whips. And off the top of my head, it was near $28 or $30. But I don't know if that's a good or bad rate, to be exact.
Well, if it's 3, then I imagine that it was a pretty large box.
Well, it's about probably a 4. It's a 4x4x48-inch box.
Okay. Jim, we've run out of time. I can hear the music. That means I'm going to take care of the people who actually take care of me to make this show possible. Because without my advertisers, I wouldn't be on the air. Thank you so much.
And no, I appreciate it, Daniel.
We'll arrange for you to be on the show so we can go more into detail. And thank you.
And sounds great. Thank you very much.
Aloha. I want to thank the people who make the show possible, including Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing CCTV surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored anywhere in the world, on your laptop or your smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii. Now, this is really important, okay? Acura of Honolulu is having a huge moving sale, and it starts this weekend. They're heading down the road. They need to lighten their load. Does that sound familiar? 50 cars must be sold and delivered in the next 7 days. So get the best values ever on the new and pre-owned inventory in stock right now, including amazing lease offers, these special offers like 209 on the city-sized luxury of the ILX, 299 on the thrilling new TLX, and 309 on the spacious and very comfortable RDX. Or choose from rates as low as 0.9% on select models. Okay, so that's Acura of Honolulu. A huge moving sale. It's this weekend, and take advantage of it. 50 cars must be sold and delivered in the next 7 days. Thank you, Creative Plumbing. Whether you're in charge of a huge building, maybe several huge buildings, or you've got a shopping center, you are in charge of a store, you have a custom home with special needs, or a townhouse. It doesn't matter what kind of home or what kind of store yours is. Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right. Play Puvei Golf Course, yes, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. Outstanding. outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. It's the Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. Protection for your home, your business, for your concert, your special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name's Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2015.